Well, good. Guys, I didn't expect so many people on a holiday weekend. It's nice to see you all. Figured you'd all be at the beach or something, you know. But let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 3. Actually, we're going to start in chapter 2 and verse 46. After the day of Pentecost, and after Peter preached to the people that day, there were about 3,000 people who believed. And that's quite incredible, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, there were many, many, many thousands of people at the temple that day, but 3,000 of those thousands believed. And it says in verse 46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, they did eat. I'm breaking in a new Bible, so. Their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were praising God and having favor, it says in King James. It's sharing grace. The word favor is the word grace. They were sharing grace with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, he's the one that does all the adding. He's the one that added those 3,000. Peter just stood up and talked. God is the one who opens up individuals' hearts. And if that individual, you know, he's always trying to reconcile mankind back to him. That's his business. That's what he sent his son for. That's what he wants. He wants people to come to him. And most folks, at least in my, they don't want that. They want to do what they want to do. They want to be their own God. They want to be in charge. They want to be the most important thing. They don't really want to give him the credit. And it's just take have a conversation with people. Oh, no, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, sure. They dismiss him on a regular basis. So, and if that's not, you know, you're more blessed than me, if you've talked to a lot more people that love the Lord than I have. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty of serving him, of loving him, of living for him, no. They choose rather to do their own thing. But God has always been in the business. He called Israel. He called the people around Israel. Few, very few compared to those who responded. You know, the number has always been small that have responded. And it's the same thing. He calls people on a regular basis, unbelievers, people who he's constantly putting things in front of them so that they would just turn their heart to seek him. He's working in this world all the time because he loves man. It says, you know, his will is that all men would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So, right after Pentecost, he has this preached, he has this miracle shown, he has all these people see the manifestation of the Spirit. They've already seen his son. I mean, let's put it this way, they crucified him, right? That's how much they really want a loving guy who heals people. And Peter and the rest just simply spoke the truth, and it convicted their hearts. It says in chapter 2, I think it's in verse 37. He says, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized. Repent is simply a word, change. Turn around. 180-degree turn. Change your mind. What he had preached to them is who Christ was. He wasn't the guy in Nazareth who grew up the carpenter's son, who was just, somebody who was preaching a different doctrine. He was the Son of God, the Messiah. Change your mind and be baptized, be immersed in his name. In his name. Everybody thinks baptized is just water. Be baptized, be immersed in his name. The name of Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. Christ is his title. Jesus, the Messiah. That's the word, what Christ means, the Messiah. When I was a kid, I used to think Jesus was his first name, Christ was his last name. No. Chapter 3. As they went forth and they continued to teach and preach these things. Now this is, remember, the entire community that's around them does not like these people. They're going to become outcast. They're not right now, but they're definitely on the outside edge of society, in their society. There's only 3,000 of them that really believe and accept that Jesus was that Messiah. So they're going about their business. They've been hanging out at the temple. They've been going house to house, eating their bread. They've been sharing grace with one another and with the rest of God's people. It says, and Peter and John, they entered up together. They went up together into the temple, the hour of prayer. I'm in chapter 3, verse 1. Being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Two things. This man was carried daily. You have to have servants to carry you to some location. All right? And he is a middle-aged guy. And he's asking alms. Alms are mercy deeds. Be merciful unto me. It's not just begging for money. He might not have needed any. He was asking for a merciful deed. To ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Another little key is that when you went to the temple, you weren't supposed to bring any money. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He's expecting to receive something. Whatever it is. And then Peter says, get up and walk. Now, in our society, if you walked up to somebody who's in a wheelchair, all right, and you said, come on, get out of that chair. That would be a little cruel, wouldn't it? Well, When you got the power of God, you can say anything that God wants you to say, and guess what? It's backed up by God. But your attitude towards what you hear has got to be, God's got to be working on your heart. Because if you take it as, well, who are you to do that to me? Or why are you being so cruel? You don't get healed. Let's just make it simple. Your attitude towards the things of God determine everything. This man was expecting to receive something. I believe he was wealthy. I believe that he's been there at the temple. I think he knows who God is and what's possible. And he is there asking for mercy deeds. And then he's been there for a long time. He's been there when Jesus walked around. He's been there for months and weeks, and who knows how long after Pentecost this is. I don't think it's all that long, but it doesn't give me the time frame. He's seen people get miracles. He's heard the stories. He knows all of these things and the possibilities that are out there. And Peter, he took him by the right hand in verse 7, and he lifted him up immediately, and his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which hath been happened unto him. Now, that's the point of a miracle. Not only to bless the guy who gets it, but to show, hey, God is here. The word that you've been hearing and is going to be preached is for real. And the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that was called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel you at this?" Now that's a great one. What are you getting so excited about? "Why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go." I mean, you know, this isn't like politically, I love the scriptures. He's going to tell them the truth, no matter how it sounds, because it's the truth. You know, a lot of people think truth is like bendable. You know, it's not. "You denied him and let him go." Verse 14. "But you denied the Holy One and the just, desiring a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Wherefore we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." The name that I told him, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, rise up and walk. Again, this is the point God wants to get across to his people. This is the point. They rejected. These people who God sent his son to, these people who God throughout all the ages wanted to have these people come and to know him, he sent his son, and they brutally murdered him. Even though all Jesus ever did was tell them the truth, heal, give gifts of miracles everywhere he went, raise the dead, yet they and most of this world, even today, would do the same thing. So, what's God doing? I still love these people. I still want them. I got a lame guy here. This will benefit my cause for them to know that the name Jesus Christ is the Messiah. This guy gets healed. He's walking, leaping. He's been there for years. See, signs, miracles, and wonders are to confirm the words that are spoken. That's the purpose of them. If nobody's speaking the gospel, and if nobody's believing, you don't get any. It's as simple as that. Well, you don't get it. You get one when God wants, hey, wake up. That's what it's about. So, verse 17. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets, that Christ should suffer, and that He hath so fulfilled. Repent. Change. Change. Change your mind. Change what you think. Change you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all the prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear all and in all things whatsoever he said unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these things. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made of our fathers, saying of Abraham, and of thy seed, that shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turn away every one of you from his iniquity. God has been doing all of this. Remember, this is what it's for. And he's coming, and he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God right now. And there will come a day, the day of restitution, when God sends him back, and he will restore all things. It's all been told. The prophets have been talking about this for centuries. And what'd they do to the prophets? They killed them. And as they spake unto the people, now here it is, here are the religious leaders. This is all in the same chapter 3 and 4, there really shouldn't be a chapter. As they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead, and they laid hands on them. It wasn't to make them happy. And they put them in hold unto the next day. They threw them in jail, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Just the men. 5,000 more were added. What'd they see? A man who they've been seeing for years and years and years, who was lame, who couldn't walk, asking alms. He's dancing, praising God. And yet, they get arrested for it. And it came to pass on the morrow, the next day, that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many of that were kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Remember, these are the guys just 50 days before who killed Jesus. Same people. Do you think that Peter and the other guys, John, are in a little jeopardy? You think they might have a little anxiety? They might, but they also might not, from the way I read this. See, because they're working for the one true God. They don't know exactly how it's all going to work out, but they're working for him. And that's the truth. It didn't work out real good for the prophets that they talked about. It didn't work out real good for Jesus. But it's going to work out really good when the Lord returns, no matter what. And that's forever. Tomorrow might be a bad day, but you got forever coming. So they grab him out of jail, same people who killed Jesus just a month or so earlier. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Oh, I can just hear it. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed that was done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You know, Peter would be shot down in the news today for saying something like that. He would be, "You bigot. You think you're the only one who knows anything, and that you're the only one that's preaching the truth?" And I say, "Yeah." Let the world think what it wants, folks. You want to agree with the world? Then you disagree with God. Pick, choose. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, I guess they weren't really all shook up. They grabbed them. They threw him in jail. They're hanging out. These are the same people who just killed Jesus a short time ago. And they're bold. He just told the guys who killed Jesus, you did this. You got to change. See, if you want to move the word, you got to speak the truth. You got to say it without fear. God is with you. You want to see the signs, miracles, and wonders that the first century church saw? You got to have their heart. This is not an intellectual thing. This is a conviction, a faith thing. Is God with you? I ask, is God with you? Okay. Is he with you all the time? Did Jesus Christ die for you? Then what do you got to worry about? The only one that can talk you out of the truth of those truths is you. You have to choose. You know, you can have two thoughts about any specific subject. You can have, oh man, I got to go to work on Tuesday. Or I get, thank God I got a job and I get to serve. About the same subject. You and I get to do that every day. Oh, Lord, I woke up. My back's killing me. Or, thank God I woke up. And I got it back. Right? All right, that's, no, you, where was I? 12. Now, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, I love that. Just like all the rest of us. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing. They threw the guy that got healed in jail with them. They couldn't say anything against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. They put them outside the room. They're talking amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, and is manifest to all them that dwell at Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. Then they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Wow, I tell you what, their priorities are really good, huh? I'm being facetious. And they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. You figure it out. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how that they might punish them because of the people. The only reason they got out of this thing is because politics, the people would get upset. Had nothing to do with what's right. Had nothing to do with righteousness. Had to do with the politics of the day. We don't want to look bad in front of the people. So when they had further threatened them, He further threatened them. They let them go, finding nothing how that they might punish them because of the people. For all glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. He had been there since his 40 years old. Like I said, everybody knew him. He was laid there daily. And being let go, they went to their own country and reported all that the chief priests and the elders said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, whom by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. Of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and all the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And multitudes of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. There were multitudes that believed because of these men. They put their lives on the line. They spoke the truth. They spoke it right in the face of the people who killed the Lord. They did it with boldness. They prayed for more boldness. They prayed for more boldness. This was what was in their soul. You know, don't talk to nobody in this name. Hey, if it's in the sight of God, right before God or you, I cannot do anything except obey God and speak those things which I've heard. That's what's in your soul. What's in your heart when it comes to these things? You can talk about your stuff. You can talk about the events of the world that we live in. But we're really the example of these people is that this is what's for real. This is the truth. This is what God wants made known. God has sent his son. He's done all of this. He sent those prophets. He had all these things confirmed. He had miracles done so that mankind would come back to him. That's what he wants. And it's God that works within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And you know what his good pleasure is? That mankind come back to him. Don't be ashamed to speak the word. Don't let the world tell you what's right and what's wrong. The only one that God is the only one I care about when it comes to these things. And my Lord, I owe him everything. Now, so that's what I wanted to share with you today. Bless you guys, all of you that are online. I see a few numbers that I don't know who they are, but if you enjoyed today, let me know. All right, email me or something. And I love you all very much, and have a great weekend. Let's pray, okay? So, Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness surrounding your people, Father, and for helping them and giving them boldness to speak the truth of your word. It's the only thing that's worth anything. And I thank you for your goodness, Father. Thank you for the food that we're about to have and for the joy that we are this wonderful family that we can be together. Thank you for your blessing on all your people all around the world. And I especially ask you, Father, to deal with those that are unreasonable and evil men. Deal with them, my God, so that your people can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We love you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.